apologize. Okay, now we're ready to go. Oh, it's Mother's Day. How many of you have already gotten your cheesy Mother's Day card? Boy, the rest of you are slacking. What's wrong with you? Let's get it done, boys. Let's get it done. It's Mother's Day. I want to share with you just a kind of a little story to kind of get us in a mindset today. There were three ladies that were each sharing with each other the pride that they had in each of their grown sons. The first lady told of the extravagant birthday parties that her son provided for her. She said, "He even hired a full band to play for my last birthday." Then the second lady bragged about how her son gave her such lavish vacations. "Well, just last month, he sent me to Hawaii for the fourth time." The third woman, not to be outdone, piped up, "That's nothing. My son has been paying a psychiatrist $150 a week for the last 3 years just so he could talk about me." I'm sorry, I had to. Look, let me take a moment here, in all seriousness, just to say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, the grandmoms, the great-grandmothers that are all here gathered in this place today. I pray and hope that this day will be very special for you, and I pray God's blessings over each and every one of you. Now, today what we're doing is we're going to kind of hit the pause button. I like that on my media. I like to be able just to hit the pause button every now and then. We're going to take a pause from our study in the book of Philippians in order for us to celebrate this wonderful day today. And this morning we are going to talk about godly mothers and the incredible power and influence that God has granted of all people to moms and the awesome responsibility that that carries. We are going to see the godly influence of two women who are only mentioned once in all of Scripture, and it's only in one verse. But in that verse, we are going to see and learn the tremendous influence of godly mothers in our lives. And so if you have your Bibles or your preferred Bible app, I want you to turn your attention with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul is writing his final words to his son in the faith, a young man by the name of Timothy. And Paul is writing this letter to this young man from a prison cell in Rome. His time remaining in this life was very close to its end. And here in this book, Paul is pouring everything that he has into Timothy's life. And so in Paul's opening remarks, he writes these words in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." You know, in this verse, Paul tells of two very influential women, Lois and Eunice. Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice, Timothy's mother. These two women had a profound and significant impact on the life of young Timothy. They demonstrate the godly influence of a godly mother and what that kind of person is capable of doing. And so on this day, I think it is important for us to say thank you. Thank you to the godly mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers in our lives. And I want us to take a few moments this morning by maybe expressing some ideas about how we can say thanks to mom. How can we say thanks to the godly mothers in our lives? Well, let's take a look at these together. Number one is we can say thanks, mom, for teaching me Scripture, for teaching me the Word of God. Godly mothers will do everything in their power to teach their children to know Scripture. Lois and Eunice would have devoted themselves to teaching God's word to a young boy by the name of Timothy. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that from infancy that Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures. Now look, this wasn't something that this young boy did of his own accord, nor could he give credit to his father. Timothy's father was not Jewish. Timothy's father was a Greek Gentile who had nothing to do with the Jewish faith. And so his faithful teaching and knowledge of God's word did not come from a preacher. It did not come from his own father. It came from his mother and grandmother instructing him in the truth of God's word. I cannot stress to you enough this morning the importance of teaching our children the word of God. The world is using everything in its power in a way to manipulate and control our kids into believing several falsehoods. And there's three of them that I want to share with you this morning that we need to be on guard for as godly parents and grandparents in this world. Because the world wants to teach, number one, they want to teach our kids moral relativism. That's kind of a big term. But it's simply put like this: there is no absolute truth. There is no absolute truth. This is a belief system that says what is right for me is right for me. And what's right for you and truth for you is right and truth for you. It is a belief system that rejects the absolute truth of Scripture and seeks to replace it with one's own personal truth. And I'll give you an example of how you'll see this in everyday life. How many of you have heard or ever spoken the phrase, "I just got to speak my truth"? How many of you have heard that term before? I bet you have. Be careful. Anytime you hear the words "my truth," look, I'm going to be honest with you. All that is this is my opinion. And my opinion can be truthful based on the word of the Lord. But your opinion can also be untruthful. And we need to be careful anytime we hear the words "my truth." And that's what the world wants to teach our kids, is to reject anything that says it is absolute. The second thing I think that our world wants to instill in our kids is the idea of secular humanism. And that is the idea that humanity, mankind, I am my own God. And it rejects this concept, this theology rejects any form or existence of God. It is from humanism that we get the origins of the evolutionary theory as a method to subvert the creation truth that is recorded for us in the book of Genesis. It doesn't matter that none of these things can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. All that matters is that our world is whatever I want it to be. I am my own God. And really, it doesn't matter, because our world has adopted moral relativism that says, I don't really care if it's the truth or not, because whatever I say is truth is truth. The third that our world wants to teach our kids is the idea of social hedonism. Social hedonism. And simply put, it's like this: right equals pleasure. Whatever makes me happy, whatever brings me pleasure in this life, well, then that must be the right thing to do. Our world has fallen into a self-destructive pattern of sex and lust and debauchery, lies, hatred, murder, and the like. And if you don't believe me when I tell you this, turn on your TV for approximately 10 minutes. Get on your computer, on your social media for 10 minutes. And you'll see that I'm right about this. And we have seen the results of when the world rejects the truth of God and when mankind becomes its own God, the depths of debauchery to which mankind will sink never ends. Because, folks, this is the world that we have produced, where someone thinks that the answer to their problems in life is to go take a gun and go shoot up a school full of kids. That's where the wisdom of the world has gotten us. And so, ladies and men, if you claim to be people that belong to Jesus Christ, it is the responsibility of godly moms, godly dads, godly grandparents to teach their kids the truth of God's Word. Because if we don't, this world is happy to take that responsibility from us. You know, one of the best times in my life was back when my kids were little and we were teaching them to recite the Lord's Prayer. And just last night, as we were sitting at dinner, I tested them to see if they could still do it. But even now, I am thankful to be walking our middle school kids in our Sunday school class. We are walking through together through the book of Proverbs and the wonderful wisdom that it teaches. And I'm so thankful that I get that opportunity to instill that wisdom into them. But anytime we can teach our kids the Bible, anything that we can teach our kids in the Bible, we push back just a little bit more against the darkness. And that's what we're here to do until Jesus comes back, is to keep pushing against the darkness, changing the world one heartbeat at a time. But not only do we need to say thank you to our godly moms for teaching us Scripture, another way I think we can say thanks to mom is this, number two, to say thanks, mom, for modeling genuine faith. For modeling genuine faith. You know, there was a time in America where we could say that predominantly we were a Christian country, but that number is steadily decreasing with each passing year. And in reality, most people who still say that they are Christians by their lifestyle don't really believe or practice what they preach. But this was not for the case. This was not the case for young Timothy, because there was no doubt in his mind that if he asked his mother and grandmother if they were Christians, they would say, "Yes, we are, and we live like it." Odds are that Lois and Eunice came to faith in Jesus Christ by hearing the message of Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey recorded in Acts chapter 13. Lois and Eunice would have already known the Old Testament scriptures. When they learned about Jesus, they believed. They believed. And because they knew that Jesus was the fulfillment to the Old Testament covenant, our kids need moms and grandmas that not only teach us the Bible, but live it. They live it and model it for their kids every day. And there's this verse that I think of out of Proverbs. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it." When I think of that verse, I think of what one old preacher used to say. He said, "Parents, we can't just train up a child. We've got to lead the way. It isn't enough just to train them up. We've got to lead the way." Paul will say it like this as he reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He says, "Follow my example. Follow my example as I follow the example of" who? Jesus Christ. Again, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do." Setting the example is everything. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you this, it is not enough for you just to tell your kids to pick up a Bible and read it when you won't. We have got to be in the Word of God just as much as our kids. It's not enough. It is not enough for you to drop your kids off at the doors of the church while you go home and go back to bed. If you want your kids to have a genuine faith, then you have got to have a genuine faith. Paul knew full well that Lois and Eunice had a genuine and sincere faith, and that faith was now seen in the fruit of Timothy. What a powerful testimony of a mother's life. You know, kids will imitate what they see. And I love the fact that I've got three beautiful daughters now. But back when Taylor and Lily were just little kids, it was always interesting, to say the least, to watch my kids play dress up. How many of you had kids that played dress up? Oh, yeah. And without fail, they each loved to take turns about who got to play mommy. And it was hilarious to watch. But everything that Amy said and everything that Amy did, we learned my kids would imitate. The good and the not so good. Now, I'm not picking on you, dear. I love you, okay? Because I will be the first to say that when it comes to my kids imitating someone, I am far worse. And I believe I have a lot of repenting to do. What are our kids modeling? They are going to imitate someone. Who is that someone? Who is that someone? And if we can't answer that question, then we need to do some serious self-examination today. I don't know about you, but I want my kids to imitate their mama, because I know that she imitates Christ way better than I do. The third way that I think we can say thanks to mom is to say thank you for leading me to Christ. I think we need to say thank you, mom, for leading me to Christ. If we are faithful believers and followers of Jesus Christ today, odds are it's probably because of a godly mother. And we owe them a debt of gratitude. This is why mothers teach their kids the Bible. This is why they do everything in their power to model genuine faith. And it's because godly moms want their children to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. You know, when I was a kid, I remember my mom coming into the living room one morning as I was watching my Saturday morning cartoons. And she just kind of grabbed me by the arm and she took me down to the basement of our house. And there she proceeded to teach me as a 10-year-old boy how to do laundry. I learned how to wash and dry my clothes the right way, how to separate the whites and the colors, the lights from the darks, when to use hot water, when to use cold water. Okay? I will admit, I know how to run that machine. Although I pretend I don't sometimes. My mom taught me how to iron my shirts and my pants. And then when she had done that, she took me upstairs into the kitchen and she taught me how to use the microwave and the stove. And I learned how to cook basic meals for myself. Now, I'll be honest with you, I thought what my mom was doing was just being a jerk. I thought my mom was dumb. I'm like, what are you doing, mom? Like, it ain't my job to wash the clothes. You wash my clothes. It's not my job to cook. You're always the one that cooks. But now that I'm a grown man, I've come to understand my mom was not trying to be mean to me. She wasn't being a jerk. My mom was trying to instill in me, even as a young boy, what it means to be a good husband, a good father, and how to take care of myself. That's what a godly mother does. She rigorously teaches her children God's word. She brings her kids to church even when she doesn't feel up to it. And it's the reason that she prays diligently for her children. And I think that godly moms pray maybe the same prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through the first part of verse 19. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I want to tell you this morning, the greatest day in my and Amy's life was not the day we got married, although that was a pretty great day. It was not the day that we bought our first house, although that is something very special to us. It wasn't even the day that our kids were born or when Emma was adopted into our family. But yet, I thank God every single day for that precious gift. No. The greatest day, in my opinion, is a tie of 3 days. But really, it's all the same day, because it was the day that each of my kids decided to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of their lives. And if I accomplish anything in my life and ministry, it is this, that my kids know and serve Jesus Christ. To which I say, praise God, mission accomplished. Now, I'm going to be perfectly transparent with you. I had very little to do with those decisions. Much to my regret, but praise be to God, I married up. Because it wasn't me that led them to Christ, it was Mom, who put in the tireless work of modeling what Jesus is, explaining what Jesus did for them and why he should be Lord of their lives. And to this day, all three of my kids call Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. I don't say that to brag. I say that in humility, because I am honored to have you with me, Amy, and for the work that you do that seldom gets celebrated. As we come to a close this morning, I do want to take a moment to address something that has not been mentioned today at all. And that was intentional. Because for some, Mother's Day is a day to honor the godly moms in our lives. And that is an absolutely beautiful, wonderful thing that I hope you will do today. But there are some who are here today that look at Mother's Day and it's not an exciting day, it's not a fun day, it's a hard day, because you did not have a godly mother in your life. Maybe you had a mom who was absent. Maybe you had a mom who was abusive. Maybe you had a mom who neglected you. Maybe you had a mom who just wasn't anything. And to those of you who are here that Mother's Day is not a day of joy, but a day of sorrow or a day of pain, I want to tell you this from the bottom of my heart. I am sorry. This message today was a challenge for us to say thanks to the godly moms in our lives, but for some, that godly influence simply did not exist. But let me say this. I want to offer you some encouragement and perhaps a challenge this morning. It is encouraging that despite your parental influence, that you are here today. And I want you to know that God, you have a heavenly Father who loves you and wants you to be, and wants to be your heavenly Father for all eternity. You may not have had a godly mom in your life, but I promise you, you have a heavenly Father who will never leave you or forsake you. And he will lead you to a place of rest and comfort if you will make him the Lord of your life. And so I want to challenge you that if you did not have a godly mother's influence in your life, then I'm going to challenge you to be a godly influence in the lives of your children or your grandchildren. You can be the one to teach your kids God's word. You can be the one to model what genuine faith looks like. And you can break the cycle of sin and iniquity in your family through the power of Jesus Christ. If that is what you want, if that is your desire for future generations to say thank you to the influence you had in their life, then it begins by surrendering your life to Jesus, to trust and to obey the will of Jesus Christ in your life, to get connected with a church family who will encourage and support you and hold you up and challenge you when it's needed. If there is a decision that needs to be made today about your relationship to Jesus Christ and the life change that He can bring, then I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come forward, to have a seat right here in the front row, and let's talk about what that next step is together. Whether that's about knowing Jesus, whether that's about surrendering your life to Jesus and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and to break the cycle of sin that has destroyed families and is destroying our world today. Break the chains through the power of Jesus Christ. We just talked about that last week, about the joy that is ours in the power of Jesus Christ. If you need to talk about getting involved and becoming actively engaged in a church family, I want to talk to you about becoming a member of this church and what that means. Whatever decision you have to make today, I'm going to encourage you to do that right now as we stand together and we sing this hymn, Trust and Obey.